Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again. This time leaving Mackey Arena following Purdue's 88-76 loss to number 13 Penn State. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Obviously, a very disappointing loss for Purdue. Stark contrast tonight from the way they'd been playing the three games prior. During the three-game winning streak, that sort of really changed Purdue's reality. You know, Purdue was in an exponentially better place this morning than it was the day of the Northwestern game prior to that game. Prior to the final 3 minutes of that game, I should say. Purdue obviously obliterated Iowa after that, and then won at Indiana very impressively nonetheless for that breakthrough road win that Purdue had been looking for. Penn State brought it back to earth in a big way. You know, this was a 12-point game that Penn State led by 24 with 14 minutes to go. What you want to make of this from a Purdue perspective, I guess, lies in the eye of the beholder. But to me, Penn State makes 14 threes on 25, 26 tries, whatever it is. That is kind of one of those things, you know. That's the college basketball buzzsaw. Whether that's an enduring indictment of the team you tend to follow or whether that's just kind of the breaks of the game, however you want to view it. But obviously Penn State shoots well over its head. It was a 33-point-something% three-point shooting team coming in. They shot Purdue out of the first 5 minutes of the game, which has been sort of Purdue's wheelhouse in Mackey Arena, and never stopped making shots, and just basically made every shot they needed to make throughout the game. Purdue, meanwhile, atypical of its performances prior in Mackey Arena, missed its first eight, missed its first nine, finished 4 of 17. Beyond that, I counted informally, unofficially, three wide open threes Purdue got at moments where, had that three gone, Mackey Arena would have erupted. Maybe Purdue starts a little bit of a run. And all three of those shots missed. So it wasn't just Purdue missing shots, but also missing shots when it really could have stood to make shots that could have influenced the outcome of the game thereafter. That being said, you know, Purdue could have made a shot or two here and there to start runs, but Purdue still would have had to piece together enough defensive stops to make that run. There's an animal, it's a raccoon, just considered running out in the road, thought better of it, turned around, so I'm glad I saw the raccoon. Anyway, what was I talking about? I was talking about defensive stops. Purdue did not get nearly enough of them, and needed to, obviously. This wasn't about Lamar Stevens, this was about everybody else. Penn State had a bunch of dudes just shoot over their heads, shoot really well, and then Purdue couldn't stop Mike Watkins. Whether that was tied at all to Penn State shooting so well from the perimeter, I don't think so. I think Mike Watkins is just a good player, a senior, a big physical kid who gives both Travion Williams and Matt Harms problems. Purdue lost him in pick and roll a couple times, got caught in rotations, it looked like. One play, Mike Watkins, the ball should have been turned over. He got a hold of it and laid it in. Another time, Purdue overcommitted to Lamar Stevens on a double team. He found Mike Watkins at the rim for a dunk. An excellent play by Lamar Stevens. But this was just a reflection of how deep and how balanced Penn State is nowadays. This is a Penn State team that just beat Minnesota without Myron Jones, who didn't play tonight. Myron Jones is Penn State's second leading scorer. He's ill. Didn't play last game, didn't play this game. That's a big loss that Penn State hasn't felt in any way, shape, or form. The last game, Penn State beat Minnesota behind 33 from Lamar Stevens. Tonight, I don't even remember what Lamar Stevens got, but he didn't have the sort of game you're used to seeing from Lamar Stevens. His point total was padded by free throws at the end and whatnot, but he didn't really dominate this game the way Lamar Stevens can. Everyone else beat Purdue. So the combination of those two games really tells you how good Penn State is, and that's the other part of this game for Purdue. Not just that it's, you know, outlier shooting by Penn State, a magical buzzsaw type of night by Penn State, but also the fact that Penn State's pretty damn good. And, you know, they've won more road games, I think, than anybody in the Big Ten. They won at Michigan State. They're good. They're legitimately good. And when you catch a good team on a magical shooting night, hey, it's going to be hard. You know, Matt Painter talked a lot about Purdue's effort after the game and whatnot. Would not expect Matt Painter to ever be happy with his team's effort after a loss, whether it was egregiously bad. I don't know if I'd go that far as to say. Obviously, Penn State did play harder, did outwork Purdue, got a lot of loose balls and such. But Purdue didn't seem to match that energy, whether or not it was egregiously bad. I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with that. You know, there was some talk from players about complacency. Obviously, that's not going to sit very well with Painter, considering they've only won three games in a row. They're not even in the NCAA tournament yet. We'll kind of let them have that conversation behind closed doors. I don't even know what to say about that. But the reality was Purdue didn't make enough shots. Penn State made too many shots. Purdue did not defend well enough, albeit Penn State's 88 points are a little bit bloated by the fact that Purdue started fouling quite early before the end of the game, gave Penn State probably its last, 8 to 10 points. Still, 88 minus 8 to 10 is still 80 points, which is a hell of a lot of points for a Purdue team that's been really good from a defensive perspective. But Penn State, this is all about, you know, them. This was the old, for you video game players out there, this is the NBA Jam, the ball is on fire type of shooting. How much of that was Purdue's defense? How much of that was simply Penn State having that sort of night? I don't know. Probably somewhere in the middle of the truth lies, but the reality was Penn State just shot the ball too well and is too good in general for Purdue to really have done much about it tonight. So we'll see kind of where Purdue goes from here. I say that at the end of every one of these things. Ohio State's a very beatable team right now, I think, going to their place. Purdue did just win a big road game. Ohio State is better than Indiana, so there's a difference there. But Purdue is not in the NCAA tournament yet. You know, that three-game winning streak really changed Purdue's positioning. But they still got work to do. You know, they can't lapse back to what they were before the three-game winning streak. And when you look at the way Purdue shot the ball tonight, when you look at the way Purdue missed a bunch of point-blank opportunities at the rim, at least 8 points worth of opportunities at the rim, this looked more like December Purdue than it did February Purdue. And that's not what you wanted to see tonight. But at the end of the day, I just think this is about Penn State being really good and Penn State having kind of a surreal shooting night. Whether this is anything more than that from Purdue's perspective, we'll kind of see what they make of it. But that's what I got. So this has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast from Purdue's 88-76 loss to number 13 Penn State. It's been brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, the First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, and probably the raccoon who almost ran in the road in front of my car, but thought better of it. So for Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com and the raccoon, who thankfully is safe and sound in his little raccoon tree bed right now, thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again this weekend after Purdue plays at Ohio State. So thanks a lot, everybody.